In today's message, we are going to be talking about stories. I think stories, as the scripture said, is one of those ways that we understand our faith better and we grow in the faith. I really was glad that Gary asked to make his announcement about the Salvation Army today because it fit in so well to the beginning of my message. I was looking this last week and I found an amazing statistic, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but only 3% of people never give to a Salvation Army kettle. I read that this way, only 3%. What was more amazing to me was that 26% give every time they pass one. I think those are great statistics about giving. I don't know where you fall in. I'm one of those that falls in that big middle between the 3 and the 26%. Sometimes I give and sometimes I don't give. Depends on whether I'm in a big hurry. Depends on what else is going on. But it did remind me of the importance of giving in our lives. And I'm not just talking today about the giving of money, but I'm talking about the giving of our time, the giving of ourselves, the willingness to share with other people, because all of those things are so important in our faith journey. I was reading a story this week that I came across about a physician, and his name was Albert Weilberger. Now, he died many, many years ago, 1980-something, if I remember correctly. But the thing was, he was a general practitioner. Do you know, everybody remember what those were, physicians, before we had specialists? I mean, they did everything for you. You'd go to them for no matter what was wrong. I can remember growing up, and when I broke my leg in second grade, I can remember being taken to my GP's office, Randy, in Royal Center. Randy knows Royal Center, and in Royal Center to have my leg casted in the office. And that's what they did in those days. Well, Albert was so involved in giving that he gave over and over and over again in his community. In fact, he was always giving, the community said. He worked long hours. He gave whenever anyone needed anything. He was in every civic organization. He was, he was the team physician for every high school sports team. He knew how to give of himself what mattered. And when he died, everyone knew that. And on his gravestone were these words. He was name, the dates of his life, and then this phrase, "The secret of living is giving." Isn't that an amazing thing? I thought about that. I didn't mention this in the first service, but isn't it a great thing to put on your gravestone? If you think about what your gravestone might say, and to think that even when he was no longer here, he wanted everyone that walked by to know that the secret, the true secret of living is not found in what we accomplish or what we amass, but the real secret of living is found in what we give. I came across a story a long time ago in searching for sermon material. And sometimes when you come across stories for sermons, sometimes you have doubts whether they're true or not, because they get passed along as true stories. And we call those in the ministry FOAF stories. Those are friend of a friend stories, because someone has always happened to a friend of a friend. And one of these stories I came across was so intriguing, and it just didn't sound legitimate. It was too intriguing. It was a story about a little boy, I think he was around 9, and his younger sister had leukemia. And the only match in bone marrow for her was the older brother. And so they explained to the older brother what was going on and how his sister was dying and how they needed his bone marrow to help her live. Well, it so happens when I moved to Ligonier to become the pastor there, we in Ligonier had a GP in Ligonier, a general practitioner. His name was Bob Stone. And he was kind of one of those ornery ones, but he went to our church, and I enjoyed Bob a lot. And one day he called and he said, "I've got something for you down at the office." And so I dropped by the office, and he had a book for me. And the book was written by another physician who lived in a town just a few miles away in Syracuse, Indiana. Some of you may know Syracuse, but the doctor's name was Jack Clark. And Jack Clark was a United Methodist and a person of faith, and he'd written a book about stories of his life. And it was very entertaining in the book. And one place in the book, he told this story about being on a missions trip, and there was a flash flood that came, and they were driving along to escape the flash flood, and they crossed a bridge, and they just crossed the bridge. They were like, you know, a few yards beyond it, and they looked in the mirror and saw the bridge washed away. But also in this book was the story of the little boy and the little girl. It actually happened in Dr. Jack Clark's practice. This little boy and this little girl were a family that came and saw him. And it made me so happy to know it was a true story, because I didn't tell you the rest of the story, did I? Because the rest of the story is this. They prepared the young man and explaining how he was going to save his sister's life. And when they were done, they went in, they took the bone marrow out, which is a little painful process, and he struggled through that. And they left the room and they came back into the room. And when they came back into the room, this little 9-year-old boy looked at Jack Clark and said, "And now, when will I die?" He thought he was actually giving his bone marrow so his sister would live and he would die. Isn't that a great story? It's a great story because it's true. And it's the way kids think of things. I mean, they are so genuine and so real and so honest when they think about giving. And for him, it was just in passing that that would happen. And so he was willing to do that. Well, it doesn't just happen other places. It happens here, and it happens in simpler ways. And today we have a video that we're going to show you about a couple of the youth from our church. Let's show the video.
Recently, I started doing act lighting. Jeremy found out that the candle lighter was missing, one of them. One day, me and Jay were in the car and we decided to buy a candle lighter from our piggy banks. So we went to Carpenter's Son and we bought one. And they match except for their size. We bought one because we wanted the church to have two candle lighters. Again.
You see, giving isn't always intensely dramatic. It isn't always the sacrificing of a life. Sometimes it's just the giving, and not just from our excess, but from our substance. Those young men, the tennis boys, gave from their piggy banks, gave from their own saving, where they'd stuck their own allowance, because they wanted to be able to give to the church in a tangible way. Stories like that are amazing. And another story that I came across several years ago, and I wanted to share with you, because again, it's one of those dramatic, powerful stories, and we understand this also to be a true story. At least it's passed on in this church in Philadelphia. But in the late 1800s in Philadelphia, when in those days when a lot of people went to church, and the churches would be crowded, and there was a young girl, I believe she was about 7 years old, and she started going to this church, the Temple Church in Philadelphia. And she so much wanted to go to Sunday school, and so she decided to go to Sunday school. And the first time she went to go to Sunday school, the room was packed and she couldn't even get in the door. And so she was really disappointed, but she thought she'd try it again. And so the next week came and she went to Sunday school and she tried to get in the door, but it was the same thing. And so, you know, she was really getting kind of frustrated because she just wanted to be in there to learn so much. And after a third week, she tried and she was just really getting desperate. And then, so as it would be, she became ill that same week. And she developed influenza, and in those days there wasn't much help for those kind of things, and they became more critical, and she ended up passing away. And she never made it to Sunday school. A short time later, her mother went into her room, and she was, you know, dealing with the loss of her beloved daughter, and she was ready to clean up the room, and when she reached and was cleaning up, she found in the pillowcase, stuffed in the pillowcase, there was a handkerchief. And in that handkerchief were 57 pennies. And with those 57 pennies was a note that said, "To build more Sunday school classes at Temple Church." And her mother went and she took those 57 pennies and she took that note to the church. And it was said that it so inspired the church that even in the economy that wasn't good, They raised money, they developed it, they added Sunday school classes, they added on to the church, and Temple Church in Philadelphia is still, as of today, a large church in the Philadelphia area. And that all happened because a young girl was willing to give, not from her excess, but from everything she had, everything she possessed. Those stories are a little more dramatic. I don't always like dramatic stories because I like to mix those with everyday stories, because most of us, let's be honest, those things aren't going to happen to most of us, are they? We're not going to have the opportunity to have those things happen. But the people at Christ Church understand the importance of giving at Christmas and all year long. We understand that the secret of living is giving. Several years ago, people of our church had a dream. They had a dream to relocate to this corner, out around the cornfields that were here 10 years ago, out at this spot we're in today. And they had a dream, but they didn't have much money. Christ Church has always been just a church full of everyday people. They didn't have a lot of money, so they brought in a financial consultant to say how much money they could raise. And these guys get paid for telling you. Well, what happened was they not only raised the money that he said, but they raised beyond that money. Now, we didn't have enough to pay for the whole building. We're still paying for the building, but those stories of giving that said, we're going to go the second mile. We're going to do all we can. And so people began to sacrifice. And on Thursday morning, I have a Bible study on Thursday morning where we talk about the scripture and the upcoming sermon. And most of those people, obviously, since they come during the day or are retired, and many have been around the church for a long time. And so I said, well, you tell me some of these stories. I want to hear the stories. And they told me so many, I can't even remember them, but they talked about people that did, you know, major things and simple things. There are people that said, we always go out to eat, you know, this many times a week. We're going to give up all of those, and all the money we would spend going out to eat, we're going to give to the building fund. There was someone that had their house cleaned every once in a while, and they said, I'm going to give that up. I'm going to give all that money to the building fund. There were people that said, I needed to buy a new car, but instead of doing that, for the next 3 years, I'm going to take what would be a car payment and going to give that to the church every year. I'm going to give because I know the church needs it. There were men that came in, not just men, but there were women that did it too, but I know one man in particular, Clyde Purcell, who since passed away and came in and painted so much of the church. Didn't have the money, but came in and gave of his time, and there were people that did all of that kind of stuff that could be done. And the names just go on and on and on because they understood the importance of giving. There was one man that worked in education, and he was prepared to retire, and he decided to work one more year so he could give more money into the building fund. And the stories go on and on and on because they were people that understood the importance of giving. The importance of sharing with other people. I've often said that I think educators, and I'm not picking on you if you're not an educator, because I'm not, obviously, but educators have a sense that giving goes beyond themselves, sometimes better than the rest of us, because they can see it. They see it in the young people whose lives they change. We've started working with fighting child abuse, and everyone that works in that, their giving goes beyond what they could ever see. Every time they change or touch a child's life, it goes beyond what they could ever see. Those kind of folks. But we have a church full of those kind of folks, whether they're educators, or they work with abused children, or what they do. They understand that the secret of living is giving, and giving what really matters. You know, it's funny, at the church we used to tell people to give sacrificially, and I don't like that phrase a whole lot. What I like for you to do is think about giving sacramentally. I know that's a church word, but sacraments are things that bring us closer to God. And that's what giving does for us, whether it's our time, our money, our energy. Maybe it's listening to people. Are you good at listening to people? I have always said that one of my gifts is listening. And one of the things I do is I love to buy Christmas presents. Now, I don't love for somebody to give me a list and tell me what they want me to get for them. I love to figure out what I'd like to get for them based on who they are. Every other year for the staff, I listen to the staff, And I listen to them all year long, and then I find them gifts. And I get gifts that fit their personality, fit what the things they like. I can look around, I see Trevor standing back there. I got Trevor a Big Lebowski t-shirt last year for Christmas. Now, you have to be in the Big Lebowski fan club like we are to understand that, but I heard Trevor all year long. And that's what I do. I do it with my children, and I love to do that. And that's what we need to do as we respond to what God is calling us to do. We need to listen and to think what God is calling us to respond and to give. Because this is a reminder at Christmas that Christmas is about giving. And we need time and energy. We need people to listen and to care. We need all of those things to happen to understand how important giving is. And so this Christmas season, that's what we wanted to paint these 4 weeks. We wanted to paint you a portrait that reminds you the importance of giving of yourself. And when you give sacramentally, when you listen, when you spend time with somebody like the shut-ins, you know, what you're doing is you're connecting with God, because that's what sacraments do for us. They connect us with God. And so you have a time through your giving to connect with God. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's a great thing. As I wrap this up today, I wanted to share with you one more story. And this is a story and by the way, it gets a reminder, this has nothing to do with asking you to dig into your billfold today and give money, but that attitude of giving that's so important. This is a story about one of my daughters. One of my daughters is here today, the other daughter, with two of my grandsons sitting back there. And so we're glad they're here. There's my grandson waving at me. That's a good thing. I love that. When my daughters were little and I first went into the ministry, at the end of the message, they used to come up and stand by me for the benediction. So I like my children and grandchildren around me. But both of my daughters, when we moved to Ligonier, ran track some in high school. My older daughter, Amanda, didn't start running until she was a junior. And that might say that she probably wasn't the best runner in the bunch, since she didn't start running until she was a junior. And she went to a high school that had a pretty good girls track team, but especially a good long distance and cross country team. And they went, in fact, cross country, they went to the state finals almost every year for I don't know how many years. And Emily's best friend, in fact, that ran with Amanda, went to the state finals every year, and I know the last 2 years finished second in the state in the 1600 meters. And she ran 1600 meters in like 4 minutes and something. I can't drive 1600 meters in 4 minutes and something. So, but that was pretty amazing. It was a great group of young women. And so Amanda ran all year with these two gifted long-distance runners. And Amanda's goal, I think, always was not to finish last. That was her goal, because she was new at this. And the nice thing was that these other two young women would spur Amanda on and encourage Amanda along the way. And that was a very nice gift they were giving her, because it kept her going and moving forward. And in fact, I think when she ran in the sectional, I know she was at the back of the pack. I don't know if it was last, but Amanda was close to the back, if not last, but she never quit. She never gave up. But the story isn't about Amanda. The story is about these two other young women. Late in the season, there was no chance Amanda was ever going to win a ribbon, and they were running in a track meet at the eastern side of the state, up north of Fort Wayne somewhere. And it just so happened that the other school they were running against didn't have much in the long distance running themselves at all. And so Amanda was running with these two young women who had their dressers and their bulletin boards covered with trophies and ribbons from winning these meets. And they said, Amanda, today we're going to run with you, and you're going to keep up with us, and you're going to stay with us, because we're going to beat the pack and you're going to finish with us. And so they encouraged her, and they could have just ran circles around her, and they could have been way ahead of her, but they stayed with her. And they ran those 3,200 meters. And they ran together, and by the time they got to the last lap, they were far ahead of anyone else. And they'd made it. And then they rounded that last turn. And when they rounded the last turn, and the finish line was just ahead, these two young girls, who had their ribbons and their trophies and all of those things, they slowed down and let Amanda go ahead and win the rain. They understood something so important, that the secret of living isn't ribbons and it isn't trophies. The secret of living is giving. May it be so for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.